The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Abby texted the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and asked about vertical gardening and what trellises she should use for which vegetables. We'll tell you more in our first segment.
Carol called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and told us about a thief in her fruit trees. You'll hear all about it in our second segment.
Maureen sent a text to the hotline and asked about how to care for her lilac. Julio and I will discuss it in our third segment.
John called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and is looking for suggestions for a ground cover. You'll hear what we have to say in our fourth segment.
Last but not least, it's our What's Bugging You segment. This week, we're going to discuss what wind and cold damage looks like on your plants. It's been chilly. More importantly, when to know when you should try to save those plants and when to just scrap them and start over.
So stay tuned, and we'll be back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix with EcoPeat is the perfect ready-to-use potting mix for all your succulents. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix is a blend of sphagnum peat moss, perlite, and EcoPeat. EcoPeat is a natural wood fiber from peat bogs. When added to Fertilome peat moss, it produces a superior professional substrate with an exceptional ratio of air porosity and water holding capacity. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix will ensure maximum drainage with ideal water retention. It's simply the best succulent mix on the market. Ask for Fertilome by name at your local garden center. Available at Daniels Garden Center, Sumneytown Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Gasper's Home and Garden, 316 Tanyard Road, Richboro, PA. Church's Garden Center and Farms, Seashore Road, Cape May, New Jersey. Collegeville Do It Best, Ridge Pike, Collegeville, Pennsylvania. County Line Nursery, Harleysville Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome, everybody, to Bloomers in the Garden. Abby texted the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and asked which types of trellises to use on which vegetables.
Well, here's what she had to say. Abby's text. Hi, Bloomers. I'm working on a vertical garden. How do I know what type of trellis to support each type of veggie will prefer? Thanks, Abby.
Thank you, Abby.
Tomato cages, first go-to. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot with them, more than tomatoes, but don't cheapen out.
No.
Get the good heavy-duty cages, not those $0.99, $1.99. those real thin ones, because what happens, they fall over.
Yeah.
Get a little weight on them, they're going to fall over, they're going to bend. They're usually 33 inches tall, so they're not going to really be doing much. Yeah. Get the good ones. The good ones can go up to 4 feet. They're heavy duty, and that you're going to be able to use them not just this year, but next year and the year after and the year after that.
Yeah, I bought some at work, and they're like the ones that fold.
Okay.
They're like 4 foot. They're heavy duty.
Yep.
They're
square, beautiful. The square ones.
And I got the round ones.
But they fold?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. And how'd they work out for you?
I still have them.
Yeah. Where did you, what'd you use them on?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. Tomatoes, it's easy. Makes sense. But you can also put other things in it. You can put some shorter climbing things in there. But you've got to remember that it's only going to get as high as that is. So, you know, depending on what kind of room you have, I don't know. It's... because they're going to go up and through it, and depending on how tall the tomato cages are, then they're going to go back down.
Yeah.
So just consider that just something to think about.
Yeah.
I like the idea of repurposing pallets.
Oh, you do? Wow. DIY, huh?
I guess. Do it yourself. But repurposing pallets is the fact that where there's pallets all over the place, and that where they are really... they have the holes in them and the gaps where you can train things to grow through the pallets.
Yeah.
You could even fill the pallets with soil if you cover up the back end.
Yeah,
and
that
they
awesome.
And that then create planting pockets.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the best for vegetables, but for flowers, it would be really
it'd
ideal.
Be awesome,
But taking the pallets, opening up a few boards, taking a few boards out, and making it like a lean-to to where you can get things like you could put beans through there. You could probably get tomatoes to stay, but you got to make sure that when you use anything to hold support for tomatoes, you, string is not the best choice because what happens is that you can girdle the stems of the tomato plants. What's the best thing to use, Julio?
Well,
come on, here's a test.
I tell you what, the nylon mesh is really nice.
Nylon stockings.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to think. This is what you need. Don't be ashamed, you guys out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Nylon stockings, you know.
Yeah.
And that what it does is it spreads out the amount of pressure that goes against that stem, so it will still hold the stem upright without having it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Understood? I hope so. Because, again, it's going to be the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're using it against steaks and you're using and some other things that we're going to talk about in a bit. But the pallet idea, to me, is that you can cut pallets in half and in quarters and that it naturally can create little pockets for things to grow through.
That's
I think it's a great idea, especially for like green beans and peas and things like that. Any of the legumes that have to go through and weave itself through.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Yep. What else you got, Julio? Got another suggestion?
You know, chicken wire, I use that, you know, and it really works well.
You know, chicken wire, right. But you need the
wide one. Yeah, the wider ones. Yeah,
that there are a couple of ones where the holes can be as small as like an inch.
At least, yeah.
And that's going to be hard for things to grow through where the items that are maybe an inch and a half or two, then you can have the vining crops grow through that. And you can do that when you've got to build a frame because – again, the chicken wire will collapse if you don't have support enough around it. So I would build a frame and support it with stakes in the ground and then attach it.
Great.
You can attach it with, you can use the U-nails. You can use staples. Put a lot of them in. Again, chicken wire is just a natural climbing thing, perfect for anything that's a vining crop.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
An idea of the way that you can do tomatoes, and it's called stake and weave, And what you're doing is that you put in some real sturdy stakes. Now, these stakes are going to be tall. They should probably be at least 6 foot tall. Right. And that this, as the plant grows, you're weaving through the stakes. And the stakes, you're going to keep them probably about 3 feet apart, maybe closer. And what happens is that you are supporting this the plant as it grows. At, every time it grows a little more, you're adding another level. And again, it's something that's keeping it supported. You're not tying around the stem, but you're weaving it through the supports so that it automatically the plant mm-hmm. will stay upright and straight. It's, I mean, it's what you should do if you have a lot of tomato plants. If you're growing a lot of tomato plants, definitely, you know, consider that. I find that to be pretty easy. Like you had mentioned, like if you do a trellis out of the nylon mesh, mm-hmm. I've seen that used. Right. And if you don't, again, like the chicken wire, if you don't build a frame, they're going to sag when they get some weight on it. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
A-frames, again, we were talking about that with the pallets, mm-hmm. but you can also create an A-frame and you can use the nylon mesh in that method as well. Or you create, actually use the wood lattice that you can buy and let it climb through the wood lattice. Now, what are you going to put on it? Basically, for tomatoes, stake and weave, or you buy determinate varieties of tomatoes, like bush varieties, that are self-supporting, where they're not going to trail along the ground. And that might be an idea.
Better
but
idea.
Remember,
yeah.
the amount of tomatoes you're going to get is going to be less yeah. in a determinate variety as opposed to an indeterminate, which means that they continue to grow and continue to produce all summer long into the fall until the frost kills them. Now, I like, again, peppers, you don't need support. Eggplant, you don't need support. But again, legumes, cucumbers, bush beans, you're going to get multiple crops of bush beans without needing support. If you want to grow varieties of bush beans that need a trellis, go for it. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking for a regular bush bean or a regular green bean or even yellow, that they have varieties like almost all of the ones that we sell more than any mm-hmm. of the bush variety. And that it's just that it's easier to maintain. Yeah. And to me, I always thought, you know, okay, so you have your garden as if you made a small hedge of bush beans around it. I mean, I think that would be cool. That would be something interesting. Squash is also another thing that will, but not like zucchini is not going to grow up. It's more of the pan squash or spaghetti squash that they will climb where like a zucchini is not going to climb like other squash does. Mm. Pumpkins, melons will climb. And you want to use something to think about the fruit. It's like, okay, I just bought something. I've got these plants and this is going to produce a 20-pound watermelon. let's just say that you better have really good support.
That's right.
And that also that there are socks that you can put around your fruit and tie to your trellis as they form and they get bigger and bigger and bigger, that the weight is not on the stem, so you don't crack that stem, mm-hmm. and that way it's self-supporting and that you don't have that issue. Because sometimes you'll have some things that look great, and then all of a sudden you get a windy day, and all of a sudden all your fruit is on the ground, and it hasn't ripened. Yeah. So just consider that. Mm-hmm. Ebony, what else do you have to add, Julio?
Well, you know, I just like the ones I bought because I've had them for years, and they're just—
The cages?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're just there all the time for me.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go cheap, like you said.
Yeah.
Because they're not good.
No. And we sell them at Bloomers because they're I'll be honest, they're cheap. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, $1.99. And it's like, they're okay. And But when you say the other, well, buy this one, it's, you know, $4.99 or $7.99 or, and it's like, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to buy that. Yeah. Right? Didn't we have What's Bugging You, What's Julio? Bugging, yeah, there, there's bugging a What's me. Bugging Len.
Yeah, it's bugging
don't
Len.
Skimp. Yeah, buy don't something skimp. Worthwhile that you can that's have right. for years.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know, so, but again, it's consider the weight of the fruit and decide whether, or the, I'm saying fruit, but you know what I mean.
That's right.
Yeah. Of the produce. How's that? And that how much weight it's going to need. Like peas, they don't weigh nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to need that kind of heavy support.
Beans.
But when you're talking about, right, and you're talking about pumpkins or you're about big squash
heavy duty
or
guys.
Anything, and you need to get something that's going to support it. And then consider those bags that you can help the stems along so you don't lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll be back. Right in the garden, right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, one of our listeners, Carol from Philadelphia, called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline, and she is frustrated by squirrels stealing her fruit. I don't blame her. Yeah. Listen to what she had to say.
Hi, my name is Carol. I'm in Northeast Philadelphia. I have a tree problem. You've helped me in the past, so hopefully you can help me now. I have a pear tree and a plum tree. And they're very fairly new. The plum tree is just a couple of years old, and the pear tree is maybe 3 years old. They bloom nice. I get nice pears on them. I get nice plums on them quite a lot. However, I only get to eat a couple because of those pesky squirrels. I've tried several things about keeping them away, but nothing seems to help. Can you give me some suggestions? Thank you.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yeah. Have you tried pepper spray? Now, there is squirrel repellent. Ibonite has a squirrel repellent, and that it basically gets in their nose and they don't just avoid the area, but it's animal behavior modification. So what you have to do is you have to reapply it and reapply it and reapply it, and so that they associate your tree with that smell. Not that, oh, she must have sprayed that pepper spray. That they associate, oh, don't go by that tree. That tree is off limits. It's an organic material. It's something that you have to do, and you're going to have to spray it after a heavy rain, and you just have to be faithful to it and just keep doing it and keep doing it, and that they will become less and less. Most of the squirrels in your neighborhood are your neighborhood squirrels. It's not like birds where they fly in and they land, and then you have a new crop of birds too. So the squirrels usually are pretty much, they hang around the same area. I like the other idea, Julio. Okay.
Yeah, that, yeah, I know you do. Yeah, you'd like to plant the mint, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Why am I planting mint? Tell me, why, where would I plant mint?
Well, you're going to plant it right by the trees where she has, you know, her fruits. And so it's going to be a lot like the spray that you're doing, Carol. So you're going to put them right around your trees. And
so like a ground cover underneath.
Like ground, beautiful.
So, and that, why?
Because of the oils in the actual leaves.
And it could be peppermint or spearmint.
Mm-hmm,
And that, again, it's something that the squirrels are going to get used to that area and they don't want to. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got to remember that squirrels can jump 5 to 6 feet straight up.
Yeah, pretty good, huh?
So you're going to need to do a big section of mint so that it's basically almost out to the drip line. So mint is prolific. Some people call it invasive, but not me. And just get used to drinking a lot of mojitos and mint juleps, and you'll be all set.
There you go. A little peppermint tea doesn't hurt.
Right. And when it comes time to spraying, or even when you have to go and harvest, don't worry about stepping on the mint. It is almost indestructible.
Yeah.
And I like that almost the best.
Right.
It's pretty easy to do. It makes it so that cleanup is easy because it goes down and gets hidden by the mint.
It's real easy.
It's a good choice. Yeah. Good choice. How about bird netting?
Oh, boy. You can use that.
Bird netting,
yeah.
You're basically covering the tree with a net
right.
to keep the animals off of it. Now, squirrels, unfortunately, can chew through it.
Yeah.
Maybe you might have an issue. You got to see. Mm-hmm. If you do a combination of things, it might work out. But again, the bird net against squirrels, I don't know. Yeah. What would you say? It's gonna work. But if that fruit is ready to harvest and they smell that sweetness coming from that fruit, they're gonna chew through that net and they're gonna try to get to them. So you just gotta be,
you just gotta be
tenacious. Okay.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough.
Scarecrows.
Oh, scarecrows, huh?
Now, Julio, do you have any CD? Do you have a CD player?
What's that? I got CDs.
They used to make, Sony made them all in your town.
I know, they did. I got CDs, but no player.
Well, that's good. And that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Uh-huh.
If you take CDs, the metallic part of the CD, that it reflects and it is a scarecrow, and it frightens the squirrels. Now, some may call it ornamental.
ornamental CDs?
But you're going to have to just explain
that
putting those CDs there is another deterrent that's going to scare the squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
Pie pans will do the same
pie
thing.
Pans, yeah.
You know, they're a little lighter, but they're maybe not as artistic. So again,
yeah, right.
And then also those Dale and owls that you see, like we sell the owls, and that what they do is the squirrels think they're going to be eaten by the owl, and that there's hawks now.
Oh, yeah.
And that, and I don't think there's many snakes in Philadelphia, or let's hope not. But in rural areas, snakes are something that will scare squirrels. So all of these are actual scarecrows that you put. But the trick is, if you put it in one spot and leave it there, it looks like an ornament. They're going to laugh at you. It's like,
I know that.
Look at the owl just staying in one spot.
That's right.
So you got to move it around the yard a bit and try to fool them to think that it's real and that they'll tell their children, don't go near that. Don't go near that. Last but not least, as you know, there's squirrel baffles for bird feeders.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. There are the same thing that where there are wide baffles that you can use, and you might need to put a couple together to create a baffle for the trunk. Again, depends on the size of your tree. Squirrels can jump. So I still love the idea of planting mint around. So they've got to crawl through the mint to jump into the tree to eat your fruit. So that's probably my favorite. And also, if I got to mention that you could start feeding the squirrels away from the trees so that they're so full they're not interested in eating your plums and apples.
keep them happy, huh, man?
Yeah, well, not really. I can't stand them, and I hate them because they have destroyed too many of my bird feeders.
Oh, gosh.
So I have the pepper spray, and that sprayed right on my feeder, and it doesn't affect the birds.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, hope that helps. Yeah, we'll be right back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide contains bifenthrin, which is a highly recommended product to control the spotted lanternfly. Available as both a ready-to-use and a concentrate, they are a water-based, low-odor, non-staining insecticide formulation. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide may be used indoors or outdoors. It provides up to 4 months residual control indoors and up to 6 weeks residual control outdoors. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide kills a wide variety of insects, including fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, roaches, ants, spiders, earwigs, crickets, and grasshoppers. Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide may be used around the perimeter of the home, on lawns, trees, shrubs, flowers, and even vegetables. So, the next time you visit your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's broad-spectrum insecticide and expect to have the best-looking plants and landscape in the neighborhood.
Green Acres Nursery and Garden Center, West County Line Road, Colmar, Pennsylvania. Herbin's Garden Center, Chestnut Street, Emmis, Pennsylvania. Laurel Oak Garden Center, Thompson Mill Road, Marlton, New Jersey.
Captain's Log, Day 33, on the trail of a natural insect killer.
Hey there, it's Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. I was on the hunt for the best natural insecticide when I took a shot in an abandoned distillery and discovered a naturally fermented material so effective at killing insects, it's the active ingredient in my Dead Bug Brew. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew kills dozens of problem insects, including caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, and more, on flowers, veggies, trees, berries, you name it. It comes in an easy-to-use sprayer, and it's approved for organic gardening. I've traveled the world to find the best solutions for natural gardening, and if you've got problem insects, take your best shot with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide, trusted since 1926. Visit your local hardware store or garden center today, or learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, Adney, we have another text message, and it's from Maureen. And she asked us on a Bloomers in the Garden hotline, and she wants to know how to prune her lilac.
Here's what she said. Can you please advise when I can trim my lilac bush so that I don't lose blooms for next year? Thank you, Maureen from Hillsdale. I'm sorry, Hillside.
Hillside, wow, how about that?
Why Hillsdale? I don't know. Anyway, Maureen.
Yeah.
Easy. First of all,
easy peasy.
You prune after they bloom. So right after they bloom, that's what you're going to prune them. You don't want to wait too long. You want to have it done by June. You don't want to go in or else you're going to lose blooms,
yeah,
like you said.
Yeah.
And if you have landscapers, make sure you let them know. Hey, it's September.
Right.
Stay away from my lilac.
Yeah, they'll ruin your landscape.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. It's like I used to have flowering shrubs. Now I just have green ones.
Right.
So, again, it's pretty easy. There are two types of lilacs where there's the large lilacs that are similar to a large shrubby tree that most people are familiar with. And then there are the dwarf Korean lilacs that they're more of like a shrub and that they could be anywhere from, say, 3 foot to 6 foot. They can get unruly. And I would, as soon as they're done blooming, I would take them down to the size that you want them and that they will regrow and that they'll have a 2 growth periods. And that you're really getting in between the first and second. So what will happen is when you cut that back right after they've bloomed, they're going to push out new growth and that they're going to set buds for next year's flowering. So if you do it too late, it's not going to happen. So that's the Korean one, the one that looks like more like a shrub. And that like Miss Kim is one of those varieties. But the regular lilacs, you got to be careful of because they have problems with powdery mildew, right?
Yeah, always.
If you don't prune them correctly, they stay too full in that there's no air circulation to dry that out. Yeah. So you're going to want to prune, open it up a little bit. You're going to want to be careful not to prune down too far. Now, if it's one of those real old ones that has kind of like stalled, that you might want to prune it down about 6 to 8 inches from the top. Just saying, you may have some reduced flower production the following year if you do that. But the one thing that you want to do is make sure that you, again, open it up, but also that you're deadheading them where you're taking the flowers out after they've bloomed and that they don't go to seed. So if you have a lilac where you've let it go and just go into flower, and then all of a sudden you see that brown cluster where it goes to seed, you want to prevent it from doing that by deadheading it. And that will help in flower production. What else do you have to add, Julio?
Yeah, so like you were saying, Len, you know, you got to do it between April and June, okay? You don't want to go too far down because then you'll take all the flowers production away.
Right.
And if not, you know, you're going to say, what happened? You know, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And and also suckers. I mean,
suckers. Yeah.
What ends up happening is that you have a lot of stuff that comes up from like the root system. And a large majority of these are all hybrids that are grafted. So what you want to do is get rid of those suckers so they don't crowd out the hybrid that you're paying for. Because what's coming up is just a regular old purple lilac where you want to get that cut out. So the suckers that are growing from the ground up, you want to get rid of. And just make sure that you can spot the graft. You'll see like a little graft collar, like a scar, and you can tell that that's where you want to keep that part of the tree
You don't want to have the stuff that's coming up from basically the soil line.
Yeah, they look ugly.
But they don't match. Yeah, they don't match.
They don't look anything good.
And you wonder, like, what happened to that plant that I had?
Yeah. Make sure that your secateurs or your pruners are clean, too.
Yeah. I mean, Julio, how do you – you told me about how you prune. And then you clean between each plant.
Oh, yeah, between each plant I do it because, you know, you can transfer the disease from one to the other really
easy.
That's right. So you got to be careful with that. A little bit of water, a little bit of, you can put a little bit of alcohol, but I use, what do you call that?
Bleach?
Bleach, yeah.
So you put in some bleach and you
just take your, wipe it off and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Make sure they're, another thing. Make sure that they are sharp. I mean,
<Yeah.
laughs> you know, you don't want to be cutting those stems and they look like what you do to the stem.
Yeah, you don't want a flat cut. You want to have a cut maybe at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then that way you don't have water running in it. And
right.
I don't think it's necessary to put any sealer or anything like that. These are resilient plants.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just you want to be careful not to cut below the graft. Mm-hmm. And that you want to cut out the suckers, and it's all about air circulation and deadheading. If you get it to a size that you're happy with, then you're going to deadhead, and that's pretty much all you're going to have to do. Watch out for suckers and deadhead after the flowers drop off, and then it'll be great.
Also, talking about deadheading, anything that's dead, you know, any dead stems, get those out.
Yeah, yeah. Again, air circulation.
Right.
Eliminates disease problems.
Right. So you got to thin it out a little bit. Go ahead.
Yep. Because, again, powdery mildew is an issue with lilacs. And again, the two types of lilacs. There's the one that's the shrubby tree that gets to be about 10 feet tall. And then there's the one that is the shrub that is the, like, Miss Kim variety. And it's the Korean lilac. That's the one that you can pretty much go to town on right after it blooms.
You have that bloomerang. Remember that one?
Bloomerang, that's right. Yeah. That's, again, another hybrid that you want to just let that grow and cut it back like we've been describing. Deadhead it.
Yeah.
And that bloomerang is supposed to flower all summer.
Yeah, right.
Deadheading, just like you would do to roses, is what you want to do. So anything to add, Hull?
No, I think we did cover that pretty good there.
Yeah, don't be afraid to feed it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Don't
feed it with
that
plant tone from a Spoma.
Right.
And that it's a nice neutral organic fertilizer that the lilacs will love.
Don't forget, we always say it, don't fear the shears.
That's
right.
That's it. We'll be right back in the garden right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. We're just giving Brett a hard time today. That's like every time.
Yeah, we do.
Anyway. All right. So John from Morristown, that's Morristown, from North Jersey, so I know, that he called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. And he wanted suggestions what ground cover to plant. Here's what John had to say.
Hey, guys. I live in North Central New Jersey, and I'm looking to put some kind of a plant that's on a hill. It's about 5 feet wide by about 20 feet long. It gets a lot of shade, and I don't want the plant more than six or seven inches high. And again, it gets a lot of shade. And I want really like no maintenance or very low maintenance, some type of ground cover or evergreen. Thank you.
All right.
Well,
we want a ground cover that's not going to have any maintenance. Well, that we have one that will grow in the shade. Let's just get the big three out of the way. English ivy, very aggressive, can climb up trees. Everywhere. Not the best choice, but it certainly will fill that area quickly, and it will look good, and it's an evergreen, and it's going to look good in the winter, and it's going to look good all the time. But you know what? It's going to look exactly the same way it does now as it does 6 months from now, and then, you know, it has some variation as it grows, where the new growth is a little more of a chartreuse color rather than a hunter green. It's easy. If you don't have trees in there, you can maybe give it a shot.
Yeah,
but it's going to want to travel. Mm-hmm. It may not respect its borders. Next one. Now, very hot. Always has been, you know, do you have any periwinkle? Periwinkle. Also known as Vinca minor. Okay, Vinca minor is the ground cover blue flower, so it has some flowering to it. Grows well, can take some shade. You know, I would say if you have filtered sun or you have 3 hours of sun, that's enough to keep it alive and do well. But again, you need to get it established. It's going to require you to make sure that you're taking care of it. Probably number one on the list, wouldn't you say, Julio?
Number one, I think so.
Pachysandra.
Yeah, that's it.
Pachysandra, like ivy, is going to give you a consistent look throughout the year. It does get a white flower on it, but it's not grown for the flower.
Yeah.
And it will fill in, and it fills in with tillers, and that it's going to fill in fairly quick for you.
Yeah, nice.
Comes in packs. Like we have them in flats of 24. You're going to plant them. You're going to need a lot. But again, you're filling in a big area. So
it is big,
You know, it's going to be one of the best choices.
I think so.
But we have some
other choices.
Different, right?
Yeah.
Different. Throw one out there, Julio.
Okay, we got one. It's a Juga. I really like that. It's got a, you know, nice, beautiful little purple flowers on there.
Yep.
And they can spread pretty good too.
Yep. They have the foliage in most Ajuga is going to be like a bronze to dark brown. Like there's chocolate chip, which is
chocolate
a variety.
Chip is nice,
and
yeah.
there's a lot of different Ajuga varieties.
Burgundies, yeah.
And but there's also a tricolor where Ooh. It has some speckled white in the leaves. To be quite honest, I think in a large mass area like you have, it would get lost. And I don't think the Too advantage small. Of it, if you were putting in an area where it was mixed with something else, I think it would really stand out, like a border plant or a plant planted along the border, not a mass planting like you're talking
yeah.
about. My favorite and that right. I would seriously consider is Sweet Woodruff.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. Sweet Woodruff, also the botanical is Galium. Sweet Woodruff gets a white flower, and
yeah.
it's going to grow a little taller than yeah. you may want. It's probably going to grow 8 inches, maybe.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to get to a foot. Yeah. But, again, it grows great in the shade. It has a little bit of a unique leaf pattern.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a really good plant, mm-hmm. very hardy,
yeah.
and it's something that you should take a look at
yeah.
and go to your local garden center and talk to them about that.
Yeah, that gives you a little color, a little, you know, little,
yeah.
little flower.
Now here you go.
Right.
Do you need to refinance your house?
yeah, right.
But hellebores.
Oh, yes.
Hellebores.
Beautiful.
Indestructible plant.
Yeah, you can't kill it.
Has incredible flower range, color.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be just, you know, you got some white, and you got one these flowers that didn't look like much. But today,
got it.
It's like reds and purples and mm-hmm. whites and yellow. Not,
oh,
it's you know what it is? It's like a off-white yellow.
Yeah.
So it's not really bright, like cheery, you know, yellow.
Yeah.
But, you know,
the leaves. Oh, the leaves are incredible,
and they are like depending on the variety, mm-hmm. like that First Kiss that we
right,
like
yeah.
so much
that's
that
right.
it has a speckled leaf to it.
Yeah, it's beautiful,
and it's an evergreen,
mm-hmm.
and they're not cheap. They're not cheap,
yeah.
but again, if you're putting this in, it's gonna be no maintenance, no major yeah. insects or diseases
right.
that go through hellebores.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
You know, that to me is...
Yeah, I like that one.
If
it could have a little section. It doesn't have to be the whole... You
know. Yeah, and that's... Julio brings up a good point, right? It could be a blend of all of these
all
things.
All this stuff, yeah.
All of these things where, you know, you're going to divide it up and do, like, mm-hmm. large pockets of each one of these plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And the difference that you got to make sure you do is that it's a repeat... Where, you know, you don't just
yeah.
throw Paxander there and Vinca there. And, like, you know, you work towards the ends where it's Paxander, say, on the ends. And then you pick something else on the inside. And it, because you said it's a pretty big area.
Yeah, it's 5x20.
Yeah. And that where also a chorus, which is sweet flag, which is a grass
yeah.
that will grow. And it's a variegated grass.
Mm-hmm.
And that it looks dynamite. Now it's going to get taller than you want. It's not one of these grasses that gets to be 4 or 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It gets probably, I don't know, what, about 18 inches?
Yeah, that's it.
18 inches. So it's going to be this island of bright colored grass
like
in
that.
The shade
yeah.
to where you're going to see it. Now, I wouldn't put it at the top of the hill. I put it at the base.
Yeah, at the bottom.
Put it at the base in a couple of areas. You're going to do maybe a block of 3 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
I like 5 better. Not yeah. 7, I think, is too many. But it's going to be these islands that you'll put at the base with the other different ground covers in between.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah.
Lamium.
Oh, yeah.
Lamium is an awesome plant. Has a wide range of leaf patterns to it where there's a silvery leaf center with a green outside.
Beautiful.
That's one that's... very good.
Yeah.
Then again, there's so many different varieties. I hate to just say, oh, just use the one,
yeah,
you know, just use this one,
yeah.
you know. But again, Orchid Frost is a dwarf, low growing type of lamium,
yeah.
and that these all flower. White Nancy is another variety.
Oh, boy.
Where
really pretty,
very pretty. If you had a little more sun, I'd say mountain pinks.
Yeah, mountain pinks.
Creeping flocks.
Yeah, creeping flocks. Oh, that would be great. Yeah, I think he does have a little section, he said.
Yeah, you talk to him on the phone. That's right,
yeah.
Cole.
Yeah, he has a little section where he gets more sun.
Yeah, so he could go with mountain pinks
mountain
there.
Pinks, yeah, I would love that.
And that I had talked on the show how where we used to travel and get product, and I always, in Sussex County, you know, not far as far as climate goes from you, John, that it's going to, it had an entire bank and really steep of mountain pinks. Now it was in full sun and that at the base there was stones as a retaining wall and it would cascade over that retaining wall. And it was beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful even when it wasn't in flower, but it was full sun. So you could get away with
maybe what, 4 hours?
More than that.
More than six.
It's going to, you know, where you say that it's, you know, part shade.
Yeah.
Or full shade or part shade or part sun. You need at least part sun.
Part sun, yeah.
You know.
To get that color.
To get that. And not color, just for it to survive. Yeah. So, again, you're going to need to put that in areas where it's sun. If you just want to blow it out and just put in a plant and not worry about it and have it as a ground cover and just cover that area so you don't want to have to mow it anymore,
yeah,
just do Pachysandra.
Yeah.
Then you'll be set.
Yeah.
Anything to add?
I like the variety.
Me too.
You know,
me too.
It gets boring when you get all one.
Yeah, monotonous.
Yeah, it does.
Monotonous. It's like, ah, look, you did what everybody else does.
Yep.
Do a mix. Help. There you go. Go to your local garden center. There's plenty of good ones around you. Richfield Farms in Clifton. I know that's a little farther from you. That they have a great selection. I know that there's Morris County Farms is near you. That both of those guys do a good job, and that, again, they can help you lay it out and help you pick things. And you're trying to do a mixed – doing a mixed thing, you're going to want a little help.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we've given you some great suggestions. I hope you use them. Let us know how it comes out.
Yeah, really.
All right. We'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. You know, some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey. Espen Shades Garden Centers and Greenhouse, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. So, what's bugging you, folks? If you plant in a warm stretch before Easter or even afterward, Mother Nature bit us in a gluteus maximus, right? Well, what, do you know what that is, Len?
I do.
All right. You learned that where? In high school?
Well, I learned a different word in high school.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, you'll be wondering what these plants are, if they're going to be worth keeping or not on the ground. So we have a few tips here to go over with you.
All right. First of all, now that it's warmed up, they're starting to grow. Yeah. And that you may see that the tips of the leaves are yellow, or if there's some damage, you're going to see that some stems might be damaged and might be actually have like a mold that's growing on them. If you have 50% damage or more on the leaves, chuck them
out.
Just start all over, go buy some new plants, and just think of it as, well, that May 15th date is probably right.
Yeah, it is.
The other thing is that 50% of the leaf surface is damaged, chuck them.
Oh, that out.
The stems, if they're starting to rot, chuck them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're going to be in decent shape. Just because they look ugly right now, you'll nurse them along. And that you can also, if it's just on the top where there's damage, and that's frost damage, where you just pinch them back and let them grow. Yeah. So again, 50% damaged, throw them out. If it's less, then you'll, again, like, what if it's 55%? It's like, anyway.
A little 5% off.
But again, you're gonna want to pinch the back.
That's right.
As long as the plant is turgid and strong,
what was that word?
Turgid.
Oh, okay.
Turgid. It means that all of the cells are keeping the plant into the shape that it needs to be.
Okay.
All right? So that it's all upright, mm-hmm. not wilting over. Then you probably are okay. But look for that black or fuzzy lesions on the stem. That's time to throw it out. Yeah. It's not going to survive that. Yeah. And again, pinch it back. If the healthy leaves are below, then it's going to produce food from them, and you're just going to trim it, and it'll help the plant to break.
Yeah. So it's got to be turgid, right?
Turgid.
There you go.
Turgid.
Learned a new word today.
There you go. All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back right after this.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Captain's Log, Day 33, on the trail of a natural insect killer.
Hey there, it's Captain Jack, ecologist and gardener. I was on the hunt for the best natural insecticide when I took a shot in an abandoned distillery and discovered a naturally fermented material so effective at killing insects, it's the active ingredient in my Dead Bug Brew. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew kills dozens of problem insects, including caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, and more, on flowers, veggies, trees, berries, you name it. It comes in an easy-to-use sprayer, and it's approved for organic gardening. I've traveled the world to find the best solutions for natural gardening, and if you've got problem insects, take your best shot with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Protect your oasis with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide, trusted since 1926. Visit your local hardware store or garden center today, or learn more at CaptainJacks.com.
Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice, turning brown thumbs green, for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or hear us on the radio each weekend. Every Saturday morning, Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley, first at 8 a.m. on Talk 860 WWDB and again at 9 a.m. on AM 800 WTMR. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard through the New York Tri-State area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Wow, that was a little loud. Well, look, we have run out of time.
Yes,
join us here the same time next week, and we'll see you in the garden.
We'll see you in the garden.